Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name of Roosevelt.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
That's so fun.
Stay tuned.
Here we go. There's the Johnny McKeag Band here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And we are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks for your time. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I'm there at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out our Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. They're now on Skip the Dishes, and it's summer, so get out there and get a blizzard as well, too. Piffles Podcast, we're also a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. A win is a win is a win is a win. I don't care how many. We'll get to that in just a second. We have a lot to get to this week.
You know,
it's
funny. You said the win four times. That's more quarters than we played, but that's besides the
a
point.
A win is a win is a win.
There you go. There you
okay. Go. Well, we got a lot to get to. Let's jump right into it. Time for the opening kickoff. The Riders beat the Owls 17-10, moving their record to 5-3. We're all happy. A win is a win is a win. Is that what we're going with? 2.65?
Yeah, that's right around the number, yeah.
Yeah. And there's no two better words in the English language than default.
You'd like that Simpsons reference.
Oh, I love that.
Fantastic. Yeah. The Riders leaving out of Montreal. Default.
What's the longer delay or the longer period of time? The allotted time for a weather delay or this podcast episode?
The actually next weather delay, people might be able to listen to this podcast and find out.
Hey, there you go.
The race.
So, we all know how the game ended. Got caught short. There was a delay due to lightning. And then, of course, after an hour, they called the game. There was enough time played in the game where it's an official game. It's just like baseball. As long as there's in baseball, what, 4.5 innings are done and the home team is ahead, then they can call it at 4.5 or 5 if the home team's losing or whatever their rule is. But it's half a game. And this was more than half a game. So, that's pretty cool. The fact that the Riders didn't even have to play a full game to beat Montreal. Thank God they were winning.
The storm would have been electric if we would have
It was electric.
But to be fair, normally when the Riders play not a full game, they lose. So actually, I'm happy to see this happen.
Yeah, it's an improvement, yeah. Right? We'll talk about the game itself in just a second. Obviously, the big talk is the rule. Calling a game after 1 hour. Is that enough? I know that was what was bargained in the CBA, and we really didn't know too much about that because they still haven't released anything about the CBA and what the league and the PA has announced.
Well, it sounds like the PA was surprised by this rule. Like, didn't they have anyone there? Was this done?
They were supposed to be doing rounds at the beginning of the season to every single locker room and telling their players what's in the CBA. I'm pretty sure this one was kind of skipped over because they're like, this ain't going to happen, so don't worry about it. Well, it happened.
Do they not understand Canadian storms? An hour is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is 1 hour enough?
Probably not.
No.
But I guarantee you this rule was not by the league and not by the players, but by their media partners.
I promise you it had nothing to do with the media partners.
Really?
I promise you TSN had nothing to do with it.
Okay, why is that?
Because I've been told it has nothing to
really?
Do with it. Yes.
I am surprised by that.
No. Glenn Suter has told me that there's nothing. The league wants the full game played because they want to throw all their commercials and everything in there. And it has nothing to do with TSN. It's all about player safety.
Fair enough.
And TSN wasn't a part of any of those CBA talks with this. So it has nothing to do with them. This is all on the players and all on the league.
Well, I guess I was not as correct as I usually am.
You just say half of what you're thinking of.
Raw.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, not 60 minutes is not enough. No. It should be 90 at the bare minimum.
I agree.
Then I would say 2 hours.
I think 90 is an okay starting point if there's some leeway. If you walk out onto the field at 90 minutes and you look and there's storms in every direction and no chance it's clearing up, you can call it.
The stupid part about this is we know that anytime there's a lightning in the area, it's automatically 45 minutes that they delay the game. Just for safety, let the storm pass, all that kind of stuff, right? So there's already 45 minutes of your 15 of your 45 minutes of your hour is already delayed, guaranteed. So if there's another lightning strike 15 minutes after the first one, the game could be called.
Well, I think
we know that 15 minutes in.
I think what they're saying isn't so much that the game has to restart at that 60-minute point. They have to be prepared to start it. So if the storm has passed at the 59-minute mark, they can go. But if there's a lightning strike within, 5 kilometers?
Something
at the 59-minute mark, it's done. I mean, there's no way there's... Because you have to have, 15 minutes without a strike. So you pretty much know at that 45-minute mark whether or not there's going to be. That's too short. And, I mean, I'm glad we won and didn't lose that game, but what a terrible way to win a football game. I'm against that entirely. You guys like the default win. I've never been less excited.
I think it's funny.
I just think it's funny.
I've never been less excited to celebrate a victory. I was like,
hey, I'm just happy we got out of Montreal with Rue St. Catherine flu and still won a game.
That's true.
Because no,
they had more time to go out there on Friday night.
Exactly. So I guarantee that's why the CFLPA would like to do more time in Montreal. I'll take it. But
and I gotta say, all this talk about Montreal was definitely gonna come back. They were moving the ball. They were gonna come back. They had one first down in the entire third quarter. Bite me.
Their offense did next to nothing that entire game. Well, I mean, so did the Riders offense.
True, yeah.
But.
two score was what? Special teams 2, Montreal special teams 1, Riders defense 2.
Yep, that was basically it.
Yeah.
So obviously Winston really likes that bone. So we all agree that the calling the game is ridiculous, but at the same time, that early. But at the same time, that storm stayed
didn't
around Montreal until 1 a.m. local, so that would have been a 5-hour delay right there, and there's no way anybody's going to be happy with a 5-hour delay. The players won't want a 5-hour delay. A 1-hour delay, okay, fine. It's like an extended halftime, right? But when it's 5 hours and you got to go back out there, you're risking cramps, and that's where the whole player safety thing comes in. It's not just the lightning, but it's also restarting and getting the body recharged and playing a game again. And you need more time than that.
Like, God forbid that they restart the game at 1 a.m., Cody Fajardo goes out there, tries to go around the corner, and pulls something. And he's out for how many weeks?
My favorite part about this is all other 8 fan bases hate this because it benefited the Riders, conspiracy theory, because the league loves the Riders. Imagine if the Riders lost this. Yeah, we'd be a little bit upset and be like, this is a BS way to lose, but there would be 8 other fan bases that think it's the greatest rule and it's hilarious and screw you, Riders. So screw all the other 8 teams.
I was thinking about this because I saw that too, because it was about how the league loves the Riders and give everything to the Riders. What the hell happened when Chris Jones was here? All I heard was how much the league hated the Riders. The pre-practice squad got busted up. These fines on
Mitchell.
But everything the league apparently was cracking down on the Riders because the league hates the Riders, and now they love us again. I don't get it.
It's not supposed to make sense. You're not wearing enough tinfoil for any of that to make sense.
But
the league clearly knew when they were doing the CBA in the offseason that on this game, at this particular time, the Riders would be winning, and the Farmer's Almanac said there would be a lightning storm.
No one listens to or pays attention to the Farmer's Almanac anyway.
Conspiracy theorists do.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the actual game itself. So, both offenses sucked. Let's talk about the Riders' defense, specifically the linebackers. Derek Moncrief, Cameron Judge.
I witnessed a murder.
Oh, that hit? That could not have been any more of a perfect hit. With the shoulder right into the chest.
Moncrief killed him. That was a murder.
How did he not see him coming?
That's the right tackle right there. He's got to at least... You take the outside guy.
Well, I'm not talking about the missed offensive line. I'm talking how did the quarterback not see that coming?
Pipkin was looking to his left.
Oh.
And he took it right in the breadbasket.
And same thing happened with Cameron Judge coming on the same side.
And how was Pipkin allowed to continue
beyond that hit. It was clear he was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
He struggled to get up. He had no balance. And he was back in a play later.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, I have no idea how the spotter didn't take him out of the game. You could see the birds flying around his helmet.
You know what I really liked about and both those touchdowns, obviously the Moncrief fumble and the Judge fumble, and it was Earl O'Kine and Charleston Hughes getting the touchdowns on those, was the creativity in the defense. And this is a credit to defensive coordinator Jason Shivers, was that, okay, we were wondering last week, how is this D-line going to perform? Because we got three starters out, and all we have is Charleston Hughes. Bring the linebackers. Blitz them, confuse them, bring guys from every different angle, and that's what they did, and it worked. That was brilliant defensive scheming.
They did against a young quarterback this game what they should have done against Calgary weeks ago when Arbuckle was on his first start. Be aggressive, blitz, put pressure on him. Instead, they gave Arbuckle all day, and
he picked us apart.
They gave Pipkin and Schiltz approximately half a second.
And that's what we talked about during that Calgary game, where we had those players that were moving back and forth from the line or dropping back in coverage. We didn't have that Calgary game, but nice to see it happen in Montreal. Hopefully this is more going forward.
I like that our defensive line, sans three major starters, actually managed to get some semblance of pressure. They weren't bad.
They weren't bad, but Montreal wasn't good either, so... That might be a little column A, column B.
So are we back to the same problem? We still haven't gotten a legitimate win because now Montreal's not good either?
And a default win. So apparently none of the Riders' wins count this year. None.
So we're just 0-3.
No,
0-3.
No. All those games they won, they should have lost. No.
Apparently there's an asterisk beside this win, so our season's done.
If I see one more, I'm muting asterisks. So I'm going to miss a lot of swears on Twitter, but they're almost as old as 13th man jokes already, and it's been like, what? 4 days. Get out of here with that garbage.
Two and two.
GTFOH.
Two and two thirds. Not four. Two and two thirds.
That went right
away. Yeah, he's just looking.
Instead of 4 days.
Yeah, two and two thirds. Yeah, okay. Yeah, with his Poindexter glasses, math is terrible.
I'm done with those jokes.
Punt return coverage.
What coverage?
Exactly. Yeah. What's going on this year? And it's not just a Rider thing. We've talked about this where we're not really happy with the kick return coverage and you know, blaming John Ryan for kicking it too far, but it's a league-wide thing. There's 18 kick return touchdowns this year. The record's 22. We're at 18, and we're not even halfway done the season.
I love it. I love kick return touchdowns. I hate them against my own team, and we lead the league, I believe, in return touchdowns against.
I think the frustrating part is that our defense, or our special teams the last couple of years under Craig Dickinson, has been stellar, and especially the kick return coverage. Except for against Calgary for some reason. Terry Williams always seems to break one. But it's just not there this year. It's invisible. It's really weird and frustrating.
And it's all teams. I've seen some people try to blame the lack of padded practices that are slowing down the younger players.
You know, Marshall Ferguson, play-by-play guy of the Ticats on radio, he actually had a really good comment on this. And he used to play, he was a quarterback in U Sports. Because of the crackback blocks are taken out and there's not as many guys kind of just flying around and landing on the ground and kind of being everywhere because they're actually all up in their proper lanes, the kick returner can actually see the lanes. They're not just looking to try and get around guys that have been blocked to the ground already. I don't pay that much attention like he would, but that brings up an interesting point. And it's like, you know what? If these guys are getting all this room to look first...
Yeah, you'd think...
These guys are so talented that they're going to make plays.
You'd think taking away a type of block would prevent touchdowns, but no, that kind of makes sense.
So,
yeah, if there's nothing hindering your way, like John Ryan pretending he was a speed bump.
Well, he's still better effort given on that return by Montreal than Gabriel Ferraro ever did on his kick returns that he allowed against
BC. Did Brett Lothar get his leg cut off? Where is he?
I don't know what's going on with him. It's a groin injury, is all they're saying. But like
with a kicker, that's
no, that's the worst. Like I get it. It's ugh.
That's a knee for a speed receiver.
But we need him back. I have zero confidence in this kicker. He's missed extra points. He's missing field goals.
He's no Boris Beattie though.
Boris Beattie's missing even.
Which is funny because like probably the best move Cavis Reed ever did in that Mexican draft was take the kicker that can kick at 70 yards. And yet he's, what, on their practice roster?
Got a token on there.
Oh, like, jeez.
Let's flip the ball over to the offense. This is a couple games in a row now, and I know this wasn't a full game, but Cody Fajardo hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in a couple weeks. They've only scored a couple rushing touchdowns the last few weeks.
It's time for Harker Mania.
Brother.
Sorry. I'm not the big wrestling fan. I apologize for ruining that.
You do not say Harker Mania without brother. Brother.
They're still moving the ball with some semblance of, you know, consistency. I'm not at all worried about what he's done so far.
And we talked about this. He's going to have his good games and he's going to have his bad games. And this was not a great game.
You know, the one thing I did like was that he was, I didn't like that he was forcing it to him, but he was actively getting Naaman Roosevelt in the offense. And we talked about, well, what's going to happen? Are we going to end up trading him?
Well, you got footage to trade him, so.
Well, yeah.
You still got it.
But Roosevelt, I thought, was one of the best players on the field that game. And it was nice to see them go back to their best receiver. Unfortunately, it comes when Shaq Evans is hurt, but.
It really felt like they were forcing the ball to Roosevelt. Like, I don't know if Fajardo saw something or what, but.
That was where the read was supposed to go the entire time.
It just seemed like he was trying to just jam it in there when he didn't have to.
It worked okay, I guess.
Yes.
You guys worried about the offense at all? Going up against,
Ottawa?
Not Ottawa this week, but going up against, you know, we got Winnipeg back-to-back coming after that.
We know Labor Day is a win. I'm not even concerned. I mean,
everyone's going to boo Nichols, and it's going to be fine. So.
And we're going to Banjo Bowl, so we know
and that's
a win.
And they're going to boo Nichols right? there, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all. They'll pick it up again. He's had more good games than bad games. He's due for another big game. Shaq Evans is on again, off again. He missed last week, so you know he's good for 150 yards this upcoming game.
Playing against Ottawa, and they put up 41 points against Ottawa, and that was with the defense being non-existent. So.
Yeah, we have a defense now. Ottawa has no offense.
Ottawa's got nobody.
We'll look at that game next week in our Tallgrass Apparel enemy preview next week. But I think that's about it for this game. I mean, we can keep talking about Lightning if you want, but that just...
Segments lasted about 3/4 of what it usually does. I think we're good.
All right. The opening kickoff presented by Kathy Feston of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Feston Royal LePage. Hey, so actually post-game, they asked Cody Fajardo about, you know, was there a little sprinkle of Jesus in that game because, you know, the offense didn't do anything, but the defense, you know, kind of won you the game and the weather obviously playing a part in helping the win. And he goes, no, it was more like a dollop of Jesus. but anyway, sprinkle of Jesus, that has taken off. And we here at Piffles Podcast are proud to say that we have Cody's Jesus sprinkle shirts and we're wearing them right now. The great thing about this is Cody Fajardo has teamed up with us and wants to help charity out. And Greg, you've been kind of the lead guy in this here. This is your design, and people love this design.
It baffles me how something that I just came up with at the lake, checking Twitter one morning, and it blew up, and it's awesome. I love it. And the thing I love the most is that Cody actually liked it on his own on Twitter. And so, why not? Let's see if his DMs are open, and they were. And we started talking and said we want to do something good for charity. So
he just slid into his DMs.
Yeah, that sounds gross. But anyway. he wanted to do something for a local charity. And he picked Hospitals Regina. And I can't thank everyone enough for opening their wallets for a goofy design I came up with and helping a local charity.
And the first batch of t-shirts we've sold out already. And we're going to be having more coming in right away. But go to social media. Go on Twitter, go on Facebook, just search Piffles Podcast, piffles podcast.com, all that kind of stuff. You're gonna find the design, you're gonna see the pinned tweets, you're gonna find the pin at the top of the page on Facebook as well too, about these shirts. So $25, we'll ship it anywhere in Canada, and we'll get you this great shirt. It's all the proceeds going to Hospitals of Regina Foundation, of course. Cody chose that one, like you said, and who doesn't want to help a charity? And people love Cody Fajardo right now. He's the rave of Saskatchewan right now.
I can honestly say, from my limited interaction with him, he is a solid guy. Everything you see in the paper about him, about just how nice he is, how genuine he is, good dude. And I hate to say this, he could throw 50 interceptions for the rest of the year, and he's got a fan of me for life because he's just a solid guy.
So you can email us as well, pifflespodcast@gmail.com. If you're interested in a shirt, let us know sizing. We'll get it for you. And let's just help raise a lot of money for charities. So make sure you get your Sprinkle of Jesus shirt. Cody's Jesus Sprinkles with the Piffles Podcast and Cody Fajardo, of course. We'll get to a couple questions here right now. Every week we'd like to ask, what do you want to talk about? David in Winnipeg says, what's your plans for the bye week? Well, the bye week's half over for us, work-wise, anyway. I'm doing nothing.
Absolutely.
Wishing there was a football game to go
probably
to.
Probably drinking an ice cold Churchill. I'm doing some PlayStation this weekend. Wife's out of town. Kids are going to the in-laws. Okay, some Greg time.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm doing what a lot of people do in Saskatchewan. I'm going to Alberta.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. I want to drum Heller.
How dare
and
you?
And Lethbridge.
How dare you? As I do it next week.
Yeah, exactly. You shut your mouth. I'm taking the
Wait
family
a
to drum.
So
Heller.
I don't have to deal with you guys for a week?
I know it's
great. This is kind of
Well,
sweet.
No, you're stuck with me next week.
Oh.
And then the week after, actually, I'm back. So you're stuck with both of us after that.
Oh.
But we get a vacation from Steve.
Hey.
That's always
hey,
a win.
Yeah.
Can I get a vacation from Steve?
Go ahead.
Wish.
Yeah. best Timbit flavor.
Yes.
All of them.
Eh.
No.
Eh. The glazed
fritter.
Ones?
Fritter.
The glazed ones are gross.
I'm a sucker for anything apple fritter.
I'm more of a muffin guy.
To keep with the theme of the show, the ones with the sprinkles on them. Those are always good.
Do they make Timbits with sprinkles?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see them. I don't pay attention to Timbits.
I got kids. They have sprinkles.
It's the lifeblood of right? children, right?
Shut up and have a breakfast sandwich.
That was the one thing. When my kids found out to be gluten-free, the biggest killer was no Timbits.
Way to go, Tim Hortons. Yeah. Get on the
gluten-free Tim Hortons gluten-free.
It's literally just a sprinkle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep moving along here. Steve, you want to get this week's CFL Tweet of the Week?
So we heard, just of course, again, just after we finished recording last week, that good old Weston Dressler was retiring. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But
officially?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not really retired, but he hasn't filed the paperwork, but he's done-ish.
Waiting for that phone call.
So the tweet of the week goes out to Krista_B_85, and kudos to Alex for tagging me in this one. And this is, in relation to the retirement. For both of my boys' names, I fought and fought for the name Weston, and my husband pushed back and said Dressler would break my heart one day, and I'd regret it. But guess what? He never did, and he's still the best, and now my kids have to go through the process of a legal name change.
That was funny.
That is amazing. I giggled quite openly at that. So kudos to Krista, Tweet of the Week.
Weston Dressler. We'll talk about him for a minute here. Great rider or greatest rider?
Great.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
And you know what? He was the first player not to succumb to the jersey curse. He was the original. He was the reason I started picking players out of camp. Because I picked him, he went off. I picked Sheets, he went off. And then I picked Keith Toston and Corey Williams and started killing people.
He was the guy.
Careers. Killed careers.
Yeah.
Because I haven't picked any retired players yet.
He was the guy.
Did not get a 34 jersey.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, never.
I've had one for 15 years.
Don't ever wear it.
Yeah.
Keep it framed up in your house.
Dressler was the guy I broke the my rule about getting a player on a jersey. Because they used to never stay. They would come here, have a few good years, and take off. So I was like, no.
He was an unofficial member of the Canadian Air Force. For the Riders, of course, Getzlaff, Bag, Fantuz.
Remember when Jordan Cisco was supposed to be part of that?
He was too busy planking or playing Xbox. How did that guy get an NFL tryout?
PlayStation.
The absolute
PlayStation.
Worst work ethic outside of Duron Carter that I've ever seen. Jordan Cisco. What a...
Apparently I found Alex's hot button.
So we're not going to have Jordan Cisco on the Rider alumni segment?
Probably not.
Once a Rider, always a Rider.
Yeah. I don't know. If you guys are playing Xbox or PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Him, I
had his PlayStation gamer tag.
Here's the question.
He and I played.
Who's a more likely guest? Jordan Cisco or Sean Lemon?
Sean Lemon.
Sean Lemon would come on here. I guarantee you he would. He likes to hear himself talk.
He would drop some lemon drops. So getting back to Weston Dressler, really quick, where do you rank him as an all-time rider? We know he's going into the Plaza. We know that.
He's already there. No, he's not. He wasn't there in 07. No. He came in 08. Mm-hmm. I'm a liar. Carry on.
All-time, eh?
Like, in terms of receivers,
top five, maybe?
Mm-hmm. You got, obviously, Elgard. You got
Narco, Walters.
Walters. He didn't have the longevity, though.
No.
Yeah, top five seems about right.
For receiver.
It really does. Yeah. I mean, he was here for years.
Mm-hmm. But you still be top five.
You're putting him up there with some damn good receivers.
And deservedly so.
And these guys are, like, Hall of Fame players. Weston Dressler make it into the Hall of Fame?
1,000 yards? Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. He's making the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so.
I think he does.
How many 1,000-yard seasons did he have?
7 or 8? Something like that? He was a 1,000-yard receiver quite often. It was just regular.
I don't think he makes the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And you're wrong, so it's
I'm
okay.
I'm usually wrong, and I'm okay with that. We can come back and revisit this episode in 10 years when he probably makes it.
And then our next charity shirt is Steve was wrong.
Oh, God, if you had a shirt every time I was wrong, people would get sick of it. No, they'd still enjoy it.
At least you didn't confuse him with the Incredible Hulk.
Who would ever do that? I would not. I did.
Weston Dressler, congrats on a great CFL career. Even those 3 final years he spent in Winnipeg.
No,
he was still good for 2 of those years.
No,
I'm just happy he did not end up in Ottawa when he came back. When he came back from the NFL, I'm just happy he didn't end up in Ottawa. That alone should put him on the Plaza of Honor and put him in the Hall of Fame.
I refuse to admit that those bomber years happened. Thanks, Chris Jones. And a whole group of fans just love me now. You're all wrong, but, you know.
Well, Weston Dressler obviously had a great opportunity for work down in North Dakota. And we wish him nothing but the best there. And hopefully they can bring him up here to honor him. And it's got to be a Labor Day game.
Does he sign a one day and retire here?
Absolutely.
On Labor Day?
When he decides to actually do it, he'll do it. He says he has something in the plans. I heard an interview saying that, I got plans for how I'm going to announce my retirement and all this.
Later day.
Yeah.
Benjable.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Retires a bomber.
Listen to these career highlights and awards. Grey Cup champion 2013. Most outstanding rookie 2008. Two-time CFL All-Star. Four-time CFL West All-Star. Sorry, five-time. 10,000 receiving yards, 61 touchdowns, 715 receptions. And probably my favorite one, 2003 Gatorade High School Player of the Year.
Oh, now he belongs in the Hall. I'm sorry, I have an issue with putting a guy in the Hall who was never even the best that year, in any given year in his career. He may have been the top receiver, but he was never... He was the, not quite the Rob Bag lunch pail guy, but he was that next level with, you know... I love Weston Dressler. I just don't know about the Hall of Fame.
He was so consistent for so long, though.
That's true.
And for a guy who's, what, 5'7", standing on a stool? Like, I mean...
There's no way he's...
He took so many hard hits.
And he played down the middle.
Yeah. So he had no fear. Tiny guy. Yeah. No fear.
And speed for days.
I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Fame player, but I think he absolutely deserves to get in.
I mean, if he gets in, I wouldn't say it was an undeserved... I don't know if he does. I hope so.
Well,
he goes in as a bomber, too.
just piss off so many people. No Tallgrass Apparel enemy preview, obviously, as the Riders are on a bye, but let's take a look at some of this week's games really quick here. BC and Winnipeg. BC already essentially 5 games back of everyone in the West already. Is it time to blow it up, release vets, see what your young guys have in BC?
As long as they promise to keep Daron Carter for the remainder of the season.
Well, just for the Daron Carter Kiss My Ass Club.
They're done. You stick a fork in them. I mean, yes, they may win a few games. They may get within, you know, reaching distance of a playoff spot, but you can't be this far back and pin your hopes on the season. And don't give me any of this 1-6 garbage.
Well,
I know you were going there. Don't.
Okay.
Don't look at me. I was going to bring it up.
Speaking of which, can someone explain to me the trade they made this week? Because I'm really not trying to take a shot at Sean Lemon here as much as I did when he got traded. But so they switched David Coleman for Sean Lemon. And an 8th round pick went to Toronto. Both teams are out of the playoffs. What is the point? Both of them are done their contracts in this year. Is it seriously just like you need to go away or else we're going to kill you?
It's just a shakeout.
I think it's like that for both teams.
If you look at Brian from BC Lions Den, apparently Coleman was not performing anywhere near his level of last season.
Well, no, because the entire system changed with the new head coach. Some guys are system players. So, but it's just a matter of you're not going anywhere anyway. BC is actually spending more money and lost a draft pick to get Coleman out. And there's no guarantee that Lemon's coming back next year. It makes this trade is baffling.
No, he'll go back to Toronto in another trade.
That sounds like an NHL trade.
Yeah, like this trade makes absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. Neither team got better, and if they did, it doesn't matter.
On the Winnipeg side of things, Chris Trevler is getting the call to be a starter by all the fans. They're booing
Please
Matt
do.
Nichols again.
Please let him start Labor Day.
I saw somebody was backing you up that they've never seen anything out of Strebler other than just a Brett Favre type of arm where he's just trying to rock it in. And
I have never seen a player... That's not true. I haven't seen a player since James Franklin have this be this highly touted with so little actual meaningful game time. Yes, he had a great start to those three games before they had any film on him. Since then, all he's done is run the ball on third down, and he doesn't even do that right all the time. Right. Well, why do you do this every week?
There's your weekly Steve rant on Chris Trevler.
So awful.
Please start him on Labor Day.
They had a good game. The game they played early in the season was a relatively good game, I think. Maybe we'll get another one. Maybe. Edmonton at Toronto. Toronto coming off the bye week. Are they going to get two in a row?
No.
I really want them to so bad. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, they're not going to lose 26-0 again this time to Edmonton.
Oh, no. They're a much better team than what they were.
And it's going to be I put this in quotes, a full house in Toronto as they're basically giving away tickets. Was it $20 for
a game ticket? Yeah, you buy a ticket to the CNE, and you get a ticket to the game. And
hey,
I hope all those fans show up. I really do.
Absolutely.
I would love to see both a competitive game. I would love to see Argos win if that many fans are actually going to show up. Because that might actually help kickstart this fan base again.
Yeah, even a handful of those guys going in for the X and just walking in to watch a little football before they go. That's good news. You want butts in seats and eyes on the game.
Although I have to take exception with whoever said that, who would have thought Toronto would sell out a game before Saskatchewan did. That's 8,000 seat smaller venue. Come on.
Yeah, but they usually average 15,000 less people. Yeah. So I
was more surprised that Ottawa and Hamilton haven't had a sellout yet.
That surprises me.
They're probably around the 98% range in terms of tickets sold or whatever. But
once again, Ottawa's got a 8,000 seat arena smaller, so stadium smaller. So,
I'm not really sold on Edmonton being a good team. Everyone talks about the Riders. Who have they beat? Edmonton, who have they beat?
And that's it. We love calling Ottawa pretenders. Edmonton's better than Ottawa, but they're still not that good.
They're putting up a boatload of yards. Their offense is moving the ball, but they're not putting the end zone in anymore. Their first couple weeks, they were putting it up for seven, but now they're settling for field goals too often, and I think that's going to be the detriment to them.
You know what? I'm on the opposite side of that. I think Edmonton's far better than even I give them credit for in my weekly rankings. I think they're actually a solid football team.
They're not a bad team.
But they're my pick right now.
Are they the most complete team?
I would say yes.
Over Winnipeg? Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. I hate Winnipeg. They suck. I will never give you an unbiased answer to a Winnipeg.
But they got Chris Trevler, so they're better.
Before we move on here, and we're going back to Winnipeg, you guys see the Wally Burger?
I stand by it. If we sell the Banjo Bowl bus, there's six seats left, people.
It's only this Thursday night game.
Because
that's what they've been doing in Ottawa and Montreal and out east the last few weeks. They've been doing these stupid little gimmicks of food for the TSN audience, basically.
That makes sense.
For their one hit that they do about it. But they're doing that, the Wallaby Burger. But anyway, it's got six patties, six beef patties, six chicken tenders, six pieces of bacon, six slices of cheese, six hot dogs, pickles,
onions,
tomatoes.
Special sauce. Was there onion rings?
No.
Oh, of course.
You get a Winnipeg. You can't have a wing. Sorry, rings.
No. That one took me way too long. Yeah,
I'm looking at
that
Alex.
That is funny.
I was hoping to set somebody up with that.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. I'm like, Walby technically has three rings. I can't make that joke, so I'm just going to let it go.
But it's only $45.
Only? It's a hamburger.
But with six patties,
six of everything. Six hot dogs, six chicken tenders. You get five buddies and you split it six ways. That's $7.50.
The 2 foot hot dog.
That's not bad.
The 2 foot hot dog.
Five buddies split it seven. Right, you're the other. Yeah, I caught that.
Poindexter glasses math doesn't work. But the 2 foot hot dog at Mosaic is like
22 bucks.
Yeah, 22 bucks. So you're getting way more food technically for that.
And better food too.
Oh yeah.
Just
well, it depends. Do they put ketchup and mustard on it?
Secret sauce.
Yeah. That's what I pack though. Yeah.
If they have it at Banjo Bowl, I'll eat one.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like we sell Banjo Bowl. If they have something like this at Banjo Bowl, I will gladly attempt one.
You sell out the bus, all three of us will line up, chow down. Get on it.
Hamilton and Ottawa this week. Dane Evans, quarterback for Hamilton, sparked a late comeback last week against BC. Got help from the refs, which every team has gotten help from the refs this year. We won't get into that. If you want to hear rants about that, check out the BC Lions podcast on Twitter there. If you want to know more about that game, go check him out there. Is Dane Evans legit?
Nope.
Because he looked all right against us.
He's good.
He looked all right for a quarter.
He's at no point are Hamilton going, you know, we can let Mazzoli go and keep this Evans kid in free agency this year. He's good. I don't think he's not the answer right now.
He's a serviceable backup at this point.
He's no Chris Trebler.
No, I said serviceable, not useless.
Montreal, Calgary. Vernon Adams is going to be back. Stanback might be back. We don't know for sure yet. Will Levi Mitchell? Probably not back. Calgary has a bye week next week, so they'd be smart to keep him out one more week and let save him get the bye week and save the money on that.
That to me is the game of the week. That's the one I'm most looking forward to. I think, which is really weird for a Montreal game.
It's going to be tight. Where is it? Montreal or Calgary?
It's in Calgary.
Okay, then Montreal's not going to win.
Calgary's going to find a way.
Yeah.
They always blow out Montreal at home.
Always. Yeah, and then Montreal always beats Calgary in Montreal.
So. Yep.
And we always lose to Montreal in Montreal. We won.
2007, the Riders won in Montreal. Mm-hmm. They did last year, too. That didn't really help.
Yeah.
Did they in 2013? No, they probably lost by like 40 points in 2013.
Probably.
Anyway, 2007, they won in Montreal.
Yeah, there you go.
Great cup!
2019, they won in Montreal.
It's official.
There we go. Yeah. Round the horn really quick. Let's do our pick 'em for these games. BC at Winnipeg.
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 Winnipeg. Edmonton at Toronto.
Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Yeah, it's got to be Edmonton here. Hamilton at Ottawa.
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
And we'll all agree, Hamilton. And finally, Montreal and Calgary. I think we just talked about that. It's Calgary.
You know, just so we don't all pick the same teams, I'll go Montreal. That's too much. We agreed way too much.
I'm actually on the fence on this one.
Well, if you want to take Montreal, I will gladly take Calgary.
Okay, I'll take Montreal then.
All right, it's all yours.
I'm glad someone's actually writing these down and taking note of who actually, what our records are.
We are?
I'm sure somebody somewhere is.
I'm actually the listener. I've heard that I'm leading. That's all that matters.
Weird, I heard the same thing about me.
I heard I'm not leading.
That is probably true.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safa.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
You got that one right away. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Just search Instagram as well, PifflesPod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. And while you're finding us on social media, make sure you're checking out Cody's Jesus Sprinkles shirts. Get a little sprinkle of Jesus. Help a great cause. We've teamed up, like we mentioned, with Cody Fajardo, and let's raise a bunch of money for charity. So let's do this, Saskatchewan. That'll be great. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible. Piffles Podcast, proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. We'll get Tyler Gilbert to sing us out. This is Ghost Behind Your Mind. The ghost behind your mind.